The night was January 7th, 2020. Miss Dazaki had come to some personal realizations that day. And well, I guess we could just say he decided to act upon them. At first he thought to himself, well, I guess this will take me a few days. But then he realized there's no time like the present. This is the story of the next chapter. Hey, how'd you like that intro? That was a good intro, right? Thank you, Morgan Freeman, for your guest appearance on my podcast. I'll text you later. Maybe we could do it again.
Why, thank you for having me, Zaki. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Oh, thank you, Morgan Freeman. Enjoy the rest of your day, too. Bye, Morgan Freeman. So thank you so much for that intro. You know, I think I've known Morgan Freeman for 10 years, maybe 10 or 12 years. Really pleased to have him on the show today. Maybe we'll bring him back in a little while to talk a little bit about his career and things like that. Thank you for tuning in to Navigating with Zaki Ahmed, as Mr. Freeman there alluded to. Today was quite the day for me. I had a bit of a breakthrough, I guess you could say, in therapy. And it's along the lines that, just acknowledging something that I never really wanted to acknowledge. And that was that I've kind of been in denial about needing reassurance. It's something that I haven't really, I guess, gotten enough of. Or not enough. Enough's not the right word. It's something that I haven't really been accustomed to. But maybe that I actually did need. So I built a defense mechanism for myself by telling myself and behaving in a way that said, I don't need reassurance from you. And you meaning whatever. Maybe it was me as well, but you meaning like people in my life. And that's a big deal for me, because I've been saying this for a long time, to myself. And I think I can already feel like some liberation from it. It held me back from trying things. It held me back from like being a little bit reckless with my efforts. And when I say reckless, I just mean like I was very afraid to fail. I was very afraid to make decisions because I was afraid to make the wrong decisions. And I always was looking for either I was always looking for reassurance that I was like doing the right thing, making the right choice, and that I had evaluated my options well, and I was about to pick the right thing. And in the last 2 years of my life, I've explored so many different things, but I haven't really dug very deep into any one thing. I've always been like investigating things, talking to people about things, researching things, and trying to assess situations based on that. And so when I look back at it, I guess I could describe it as being a little bit fearful of really jumping into something because I was afraid to jump into the wrong thing again. And I say again because I could tell myself that I was in the wrong like career, you know, being in engineering and all that. But there's also like there's power in doing what I did, as in like going down the quote unquote wrong path, because I learned so much. It was great. I can't complain. It'll always be part of me as a person, and also like my knowledge base now. So I didn't lose. Like, it wasn't wrong. It was just part of me. And anyways, I've been kind of gun shy. And so the extension and where this all kind of goes to the topic of why did I leave my job? I get there because I had coffee with someone in the afternoon, and I found myself kind of talking a lot about like things that I was really passionate about. One of those being like where I think business is headed now, or what business looks like today with the internet. And I might rant about that separately. But I also talked a little bit about like why I left my job, and I felt my passion coming out because I was saying things, and I'll share it soon. But anyways, after that, I kind of thought to myself, like, this is what I need to be talking about. In this podcast and in these episodes, I've been telling myself that, you know, I'm documenting my journey and it's about me and I'm just being my authentic and true self. But I don't think I've been just able to let go of how I think I should be presenting these things and actually just presenting them and sharing them. The thoughts that I have either go into my filing cabinet in my brain, or they go into a list in my phone to be shared at another time when, you know, either I can sit in front of a camera and like video it for YouTube and put up the podcast, maybe do an Instagram story at the same time, or I need to be like alone for like an hour to do like a 20-minute recording or something because I don't know how long it's going to go. Like, basically, I was trying to create the perfect conditions for myself to do these things, and I'm standing in my own way, as usual, trying to get perfect instead of just done. And I read that on Live Long and Hustle today on Instagram. It was Alex Beaton who said she gave herself 45 minutes to do a task because that's how she works best. Just get done, don't get it perfect, because done is better than perfect. Perfect doesn't exist. And I mean, I'm paraphrasing and whatever, but you get the gist. So I said to myself, you know what, tonight I was sitting here, Shaista went to a class, and baby's asleep, knock on wood. And I've procrastinated for so long already, but I just said, like, you know what, just talk, like, just do what you said you were trying to do. So here I am, people. And that is probably the longest introduction I'm ever going to give. But I wanted to give some context to why I was doing this, and just going forward, how this personality of this podcast in general may just change. So I'm just going to try to let myself go on this one. I haven't written any notes. And by the way, that list of podcast episodes that I want to record is 12 episodes long. There's 12 ideas that I have for what I want to record, and I fucking haven't recorded any of them because I'm trying to get it perfect. So anyways, just a little tidbit I also wanted to throw in. But anyways, now on to the point of just making this happen. I found I was really passionate about talking about why I left my job. So I want to talk about that. Number one, impressions. I always told myself I would do eventually. I eventually will like incorporate impressions, and like I want to just like start adding finding outlets for my comedy, like what my comedic, like, I don't know what you call it, like desires. Like I can feel it. It wants to be let out, but I'm not letting it out because I'm still like self-conscious. I'm still like, feel like I'm not ready. I still feel like I need to prepare, but like I can just sprinkle it, and I need to just let myself go. So that was step one. So boom, good check mark for me. Good job. Like, let it out. If somebody asked me why I quit my job, I would generally tell them it's because I was unhappy. It's because I was underperforming. It's because I didn't like who I was becoming as a person. It's because I didn't like the future potential of the path that I was on. Those things are all true. But one thing that I don't often include is the potential of what the world has to offer now. And maybe I'll go back to those things, but this one kind of like really turns my something. What's the expression? there's nobody here. It's the downside of doing this by yourself. There's some expression that means like kind of like grinds my gears, but gets my wheels turning. I was trying to think of something that didn't sound overly sexual because, you know, things like really gets my rocks off. That sounds gross. And then stuff like really initiates my launch sequence just sounds sexual. Same, like, I feel like gets my wheels turning kind of sounds sexual. But anyways, this point about what the world has to offer, I would go to work and, you know, like dread waking up in the morning, go to work. And often like look around me, and whether I was walking to the train, standing at the train station, if I wasn't on my phone, I would often like observe people. I'd be on the train going downtown, looking around, and there was no smiling. Like nobody looks happy. And I understand that, you know, during your commute on a regular day, you don't find people who are like joyful. But I would go into the office and still, maybe there was, I mean, people were in good moods. I'm not trying to say that nobody's in good mood, but like there was no joy associated with what we were doing. And personally, I didn't find fulfillment in what I was doing, even though I have no disagreement, and I fully support, by the way, the oil and gas industry. It was not about like an environmental issue. Like that's not what I'm saying at all. It was the fact that I was doing the same thing year after year after year. Like I knew like, okay, well, this is budget season. This is 5-year plan season. This is, you know, special project time. This is a quieter time. Like, and then the next year we would advance a little bit. We would optimize. We would get better. We would get smarter. We would change things. But it was at the end of the day, it was the same process. It was figure out a way to make money for the company so that you can get paid and do the best job that you can so that you get a bigger bonus. Okay. And then what? Like what happens when you do a good job? Like I get more money? What if money doesn't do it for me? What if money doesn't fulfill me? Like, what if having a higher percentage cut to me on my bonus doesn't really matter? And even if you took away the money aspect of it, like, let's just try to even everything out. Like, let me create a scenario for you in your brain where nobody gets paid any money. Everyone is happy with their compensation because it's exactly what they want. You get exactly the salary you need or whatever. What are you actually doing with your brain, your body, your life? How are you spending your time? When you die, whether you're on your deathbed or you're dead and you're looking back, like, what did you do with your life? And I understand that people fulfill those things often. I mean, the ones who do fulfill those objectives, meet those objectives and fulfill those, feelings outside of work. Like, I'm not trying to say you have to do this during work hours. A lot of people do it happily, by the way, after work or on the weekends. But imagine like how much time you spend during your life not working towards those goals when you could be. Like, we're talking about 30 to 40%, even a lot of people like 50 to 60% of their time, like of their lives spent at these jobs, like going to these quote unquote 9-to-5s, which for some people, by the way, starts at 7 a.m. with a commute and ends at 6 p.m. with a commute. Like, you're talking about 11 hours a day times 5, 55 hours out of the week, like minimum. I just I was really starting to struggle with that. I could not understand, like, this is how I'm going to spend my life, learning about economics and budgets. And that was great. Don't get me wrong here. I learned some like fabulous skills. Fabulous. The fucking word to use, fabulous. I learned some very practical, very like some great skills, transferable, all that, whatever you want to call it. But even then I would argue, like, what is it really doing? And I kind of think, like, am I leaving the world a better place than it was when I got here? Am I helping other people? Am I growing to my fullest potential? Am I utilizing the gifts that God has given me? And if you believe in the saying, your talents are God's gift to you, what you do with them is your gift to God, there is no way I would be kind of like fulfilling that, living up to that potential by working this job. And again, this is very specific to me. This is not meant to be like all encompassing for every engineer who goes to work in a job that, you know, whatever. Like, for me, I just didn't think that it really brought to light my skills, my desires, my passions. And I needed to have that exist. So, long story long, I don't know, medium story medium. I knew I needed to make a change, so I left. As far as like the ecosystem, of our society, the dynamic that exists, I think that the internet has opened up a world that people don't fully understand. And even I, and I'll tell you this, I don't fully understand, but I have learned so much about it in the last 2 years that I feel like there's still so much more for me to learn. I still don't fully understand the potential of this. I haven't even started to tap into it, which, as I kind of alluded to at the beginning of the episode, I've kind of been holding myself back from. And I feel kind of excited to like dig my fingers in. And you know what? I felt this way before, similar, like as if I was ready to like go before. So maybe I'm full of shit again. We'll see. Time will always be the only thing that really tells. So I'm not going to pretend anyways, we'll see. But anyways, going back to the point, I have to mention Gary Vee. Like, this is Gary Vee, like, teaching me so much over the last few years. And I mentioned him at the coffee I had today because I had to. Like, he's really brought to light the power of the internet. You don't look around anymore at business and, like, sorry. I don't think you can look around anymore and evaluate business the same way you did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5, 10, 20 years ago, whatever it is. Because if you want to sell, you know, if you want to sell watches, if you want to sell coffee, if you want to sell hats, clothing, whatever, shoes, socks, like, you're not competing with the businesses that are on the street anymore. You will for a certain client base, sure, like, go ahead, live in that gray area if you want to. But I think to be profitable, to be successful, to really scale, it has to be on the internet. And then at that point, you're competing with anybody who's selling hats or coffee or watches or whatever, maybe not coffee, but you're competing with anyone who has access to the thing that you're trying to sell. But you also have access to customers that they have access to. So whether you're sitting at a computer in London, Toronto, Tokyo, like Mumbai, it doesn't matter. You're sitting at a computer and your customers are where your customers are. So one of the things that I shared and that I really would love to pursue, and I do intend to pursue, is an idea about fantasy football. And the idea came to me because I love fantasy football. So step one, like, what's your passion? You can find something, you can find a way to monetize your passion. I believe that, and I intend to pursue that because of that. I intend to pursue this idea because of that, the belief that you can monetize your passions. So I started to think about, what are my passions? So fantasy football, I fucking love. Could I wake up and just think and chew on fantasy football for like 8, 10, 12 hours a day? Yes, I could. And then I started to think, like, well, what's the need? Like, what can I provide? What can I sell? And at first I kind of thought, like, yeah, I could, you know, start to develop a portfolio of like fantasy football predictions, and like eventually like get discovered and somebody will realize how good I am at fantasy football. But I go on Twitter and there's 200 people doing this already, and there's 1,000 people probably doing it that I haven't even seen. And what's going to be new? Like, why am I going to be different? What's going to be better? Probably nothing. It's probably going to be a grind. So I thought of something that this digital marketer, Cheeto, told me. She said, you just have to be niche on the internet. You just find your niche and solve a problem for people. And so I thought to myself, well, and by the way, she suggested, like, well, just think about what your problems are. Think about solving a problem for yourself and you know, find the people who have the same problem. And I mean, I've heard that in different places before. You know, like Gary Vee talks about niche on the internet, very specific niches. It's not a new concept. Like, it's not like that different, but it's not intuitive. It's a different way of thinking. And so anyways, the niche is fantasy football fans who don't know where to get their advice, because I recently lost my favorite supplier of information. He doesn't publish his information the same way he used to. So now I'm thinking to myself, and I did this last season, where do I go for advice now? So maybe I could be the person who helps people to find the advice. And maybe I can come up with something, some sort of digital product. I haven't quite put the shoe polish. I haven't quite polished this idea yet, but whether it's a book, like an ebook, a video, a spreadsheet, like, I don't know what it is, some sort of digital product that helps people, that gives them all their information of who I should go buy my advice from. And, it would cost me a little bit of money, but I could charge people a little bit of money. And could I find 10 people to buy this from me? Yes. 100? 1,000? You don't think I could find 10,000 people out of the multi-million people who engage in this activity to buy something from me? Like, you do the math on 10,000 times 10 every year. Is that possible? Like, what's the percentage? 10,000 out of 10 million? Like, do the math. I mean, I wish my fucking mental math has gone down, but 1%? What is that, 0.1%? Anyways, the point, going back to the original point here, is that this world of possibilities didn't exist 10 years ago or 20 years ago. So why are we living with mentalities that existed 20 years ago and thinking that business still works the same way that it did 20 years ago? And this isn't me like coming up with something new here. Like, this is Gary Vee coming through me. So, like, let me give full credit here where it's due. I did not come up with this. Like, I am not trying to present this as my own idea. I'm trying to present this point this way because I now feel very passionately that this is like the way of today, that I agree with you know, the Gary V's of the world who are presenting this as, you don't realize what's possible. I agree. Like, I didn't realize what was possible. When I left that job, it was for reasons of mental health, personal, you know, stability, ambition. Like, I was deteriorating. I mean, I gave you those reasons at the beginning. Like, I was really unhappy with what I was becoming. So I'm not going to pretend that I left because I knew that there was a world of possibilities. I left for all those reasons. And now I kind of think, like, how does one exist in such a path or on such a path if they know this, or if they agree with this, if they appreciate this new world of possibilities that the internet offers? Wouldn't you want more for yourself? And I just mean that from the perspective of living your passion. If you could live your passion and get paid for it, wouldn't you want to? Like, I know I do. And I've also applied to go back to work in the oil and gas industry. I may continue to apply, but I've done it on, like, part-time postings, short-term contract. I've been a little choosy, maybe a little bit too choosy, if I'm going to be honest with you, because of my financial situation at this point. But I just knew that there was something in me that couldn't give up, quote unquote, give up on pursuing this life where I can do something that I love and be compensated for it. And you know what? I would do it really well because I care. And I would do it really well because of the training and the skills that I have from doing what I did before this. And I mean that oil and gas job. So I have to be grateful that I did it. I have to be proud that I did it. I have to acknowledge that it's going to help me. And I say this very purposely, because I don't mean to shit talk myself, and I don't want to give you the impression that I regret doing that, like working that job and being in that career. I think that was all I had to say about this. I didn't write notes on this one. I kind of just wanted to, like, spit it all out. I didn't know where it was going to go. I think I've repeated myself several times in a few different ways, but I tend to do that when I talk sometimes, and I hope you don't mind. Sometimes I feel like it just kind of goes in with the context of what the current point is. What else was I going to say? I can't remember. I don't know if there's anything else. This conversation partially came up at my coffee today because, you know, the individual I was talking to was considering a business, but it said they wanted to start a business but didn't know, like, what kind of business to start, and they were, like, kind of looking for ideas and stuff like that, and this is, you know, part of this is what I said to them was, like, make sure you open your mind, like, don't look around for ideas, like, physically, make sure you understand and, like, consider that there's a world of possibilities that exists and that you can pursue what you actually love to do. Don't write that off as a possibility. So I guess that would be, like, my message and I'll kind of use it as my conclusion. Like, I really appreciate learning from people like Gary Vaynerchuk at Gary VEE on most platforms, by the way. Really good follow if you don't already. Really gives you, like, he drops a lot of value about his perspective on the world and, like, on business, where things are going. Really good perspective of today. He really does a good job of ignoring yesterday and focusing on today, providing value for people and helping people as business owners, especially to provide value to their customers. If you're a business owner, definitely worth at least sniffing around on his content to decide for yourself. But I owe a big thank you to him, which I hope I can do in person one day, and have the, I don't know, clout, the credibility established to warrant a few minutes of his time. That's one of my goals, by the way. Him, I think, my big one, my number one definitely is Jay-Z. You know, he's my hero. Provides a lot of wisdom, and really appreciate his style of expression, and his style of, I don't know how to say this, of living, not his lifestyle, just his style of living his life, which is, you know, to appreciate the things that he does and all that. But now I'm starting to get on a tangent. Thank you for tuning in. If you've listened this far, it means that you've been interested enough to listen to the end of the episode. And I really appreciate you doing that. Take care. Hope you have a great day.